To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Our Lord Jesus asks us. And we hear two parables from him in our gospel reading today, both comparing the kingdom of God to the growth of seeds. In the second parable, the lesson is the great and perhaps surprising growth of that seed. The mustard seed starts very small, about 1/20th of an inch or 1 or 2 millimeters in size. But it grows into a bush that can be 9 feet tall, depending on the variety. And so it is with the kingdom of God, our Lord tells us. No matter how tiny or insignificant its beginnings might seem, its beginnings in the whole world, its beginnings in any given person, it will grow to be very large indeed. We should not be fooled by its initial small outward appearance. As St. Paul reminds us, we walk by faith, not by sight. It is not that small outward appearance that matters, but the life within that seed that will prevail. And the life within the seed is on display in the first parable as well. This time, the seed is for a grain-producing plant. And there is a man who scatters it on the land. And then what does this man do to make the seed grow? Nothing. He sleeps and rises. But the life within the seed is at work, sprouting and growing. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. The man doesn't even know how it all works. Even though he was the one who sowed the seed, it is the life within that seed that is at work. And so it is with the kingdom of God. We notice first that our Lord is telling us that it is his kingdom, that it is he who is at work in it. His wisdom and power are infinite. His love and mercy are without end. Although his workings are often hidden and mysterious to us, they are supremely effective. It is his kingdom, not ours, his project, his life, his gift. And although he desires our receptiveness and our cooperation, this is not the same thing as if he were handing us the entire project. St. Paul used this same analogy of the growth of a plant in his first letter to the Corinthians when he wrote, "I planted, Apollos water, but God caused the growth. Therefore, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who causes the growth. For we are God's co-workers, you are God's field, God's building." Perhaps the time I learned this most clearly myself was when I was in seminary. My 6 years in seminary were a time when I was being formed and transformed so that I could be all that a priest needs to be and serve in all the ways that a priest needs to serve. And if you look in the life of seminary, like mine, you will see that there are many priests, many lay professors, and also sisters who work with great dedication in classes, masses, counseling, spiritual direction, supervision of all kinds. So much activity, so much investment, so many human things going on. And yet, I think it was during my 4th year that I realized that beneath all of these observable human elements, there was more. Through them, and in addition to them, there was also the work of the Holy Spirit. Beyond everything we could observe, moving me and moving my classmates along the path that he wanted, at the pace that he wanted. And this realization that each of us was being carried quite deliberately on this journey in ways that went beyond anything observably human was both awe-inspiring and also reassuring. For we are indeed God's project. And if this is the first thing we notice, then the second thing is that the growth does occur according to His pace. Right within the telling of the parable, there is a rhythm in the way that Christ speaks it. Sleep and rise, night and day, and through it all, the seed would sprout and grow. We hear even in those words, the slow growth of the natural world, which does not change to match our always connected, multitasking schedules, but remains the same. It is the life within the seed that is at work. And it is a slow, careful work of making a beautiful masterpiece, of making a saint, that the Lord is engaged in you and me and those around us. Surely the perfect illustration here comes from Jesus' visit to the home of Mary and Martha. Martha, we recalled, became burdened with much serving, separated from Jesus, off by herself, trying to do lots of things for Him, but ultimately becoming frustrated and coming to tell Him what to do. Tell my sister to help me. But this is not what Jesus wants. He wants instead the response of Mary, who sat beside Him at His feet, listening to Him speak. And so what does He say to Martha? Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. It is all too easy for us to fall into Martha's mistake of trying to build and grow the kingdom as our own project, our own duty, our own accomplishment. This comes from sinful human pride, from spiritual immaturity. And its fruit, as we see in Martha that day, is isolation, frustration and anger, discouragement, sadness, hopelessness. If we go down that road, and if we reach that same point that she reached, may we, like her, at least go to Jesus and say to Him, Lord, do you not care? And thus allow Him to point us to Mary, whose humble trust has made all the difference. For if instead, like her, we stay with Him and listen to His words, and find out what kind of cooperation He desires from us, then this faith leads to joy and peace and hope. For this is the kingdom of God, His kingdom at His pace. And what more could we possibly want? To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? You are God's field. It is God who causes the growth. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Or as Mother Teresa is often quoted as saying, God does not ask us to be successful, but to be faithful.